Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I was reminded that I neglected to read the sermon text last week before I spoke to you from God's Word. And so this morning we're going to read the entire Psalm 34. Hopefully this will provide a context for verse 11, which is the basis of our message. Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want or lack to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. And the text, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. Dear fellow, redeemed by the blood of God's own Son, we've now installed Amy Osborne, and we have committed to her the privileges and the responsibilities of teaching our children. I know that she and her family have already received a warm welcome among us, and that's just how it is in this congregation in South Carolina. It's just the way it is. But now she also wants to welcome your children, the children of this congregation, into her classroom. And so I've chosen this particular theme, Welcome in Jesus' Name, because it applies to all of us, not just to the teacher, but to the children and to the parents, and we all. So Amy, you are officially our new teacher. You are new in the sense that not everybody here knows you. The majority of the congregation have seen you, but they don't know you. And yet, we all know you, and you're not that new. You're really a lot older than you appear. Since we are all brothers and sisters through the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, we can all say that we know you. We can say, I know you. You're my sister in Jesus Christ, my Lord. So you're not really a new teacher in that sense. Although you've been called to be a new teacher among us, you aren't new to the ministry at all. You come to us with many years of experience. You know about such things as preparing lesson plans for the various subjects that you will teach. You know how to maintain discipline in the classroom. You know how to work with the principal and the teacher. You know that very important thing by experience, and that is how to communicate with the parents about the children. None of these things are new to you. And neither is the most important subject that you're going to teach new to you as a Christian teacher. And that is the subject that David talks about when he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now that's really a paraphrase of Proverbs 9:10. He says he will teach this fear of the Lord. And Proverbs 9:10 says that wisdom is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now consider David. He's presenting himself in Psalm 34 as a teacher. That's kind of interesting. He was a king. He wasn't even a king at this point. He was a king who had been prepared and chosen by God but hadn't taken his place. And as he's writing Psalm 34, he's remembering the days when King Saul was chasing him from pillar to post, from plain to cave, trying to kill him. And he remembers also as he's writing this psalm that he, while he was fleeing from Saul, he fled to the king of Gath, whose name was Achish, and thought that maybe he'd find safety there, and then he ended up having to flee for his life from King Achish because he wanted to kill him. And so he faked insanity. Now, David doesn't go into how he faked insanity and escaped. That's not the important thing here in this psalm. He doesn't even mention Saul's name as the one he's fleeing from. He remembers how afraid he was in those days. He tells us in verse 4 that the Lord delivered him from all his fears. But then, and this is the most important thing for us to take away today, David redirects. He redirects everyone who reads this psalm away from the fears that we have in this life. He says, away from all our fears to the proper fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. As a believer in our Savior God, our new teacher has been faced with all kinds of fears already in her young life, just as you and I have, just as David had. There's first of all the fear of eternal punishment for sin against the holy God. The fear of being separated from God because of sins and unworthiness. The fear of Satan's accusations. The fear of people. The fear of circumstances in which we find ourselves. The fear of failing. There are many fears out there. But like us and like David, our teacher has been taught by the great teacher of our souls to walk by faith, not by sight or by human sense. He's been taught to fear the Lord instead. It's a redirection. Just like David redirects the reader from the fears that we may have to the fear of the Lord. So she was redirected. And this is not the fear of the unbeliever who trembles because of God's judgments against sin. This is the fear that stands in awe of the majesty and mercy of Almighty God in heaven. This is the fear on the part of the Christian that dreads the thought of disobeying or despising any word of God. This is the fear of the Christian who looks to the cross to see his only Savior hanging there and then hangs on every word of that Savior for his salvation. This fear, I repeat, is what the Lord calls the beginning of wisdom in Proverbs. And this fear of the Lord is the old wisdom taught by the Holy Spirit for centuries that is taught in our classrooms here at Holy Trinity. But you, dear elementary teacher, will be teaching the beginners this wisdom. David presents himself in our passage as a teacher of this fear and wisdom to children. What he had been taught by the Lord, he would teach anyone who would listen to him so that they might also have this wisdom, this fear of the Lord, and be saved. And of course, his words are for all believing disciples of the Lord regardless of their age. The children in the classrooms of our school have been young disciples of their Lord I wish I could ask them today, how long has it been that you've been disciples of the Lord? They would be able to answer, since their baptism. Through that baptism, they were called to the Savior's side and into his holy family. But they have a lot of growing to do. They have a lot of wisdom to gain. They aren't there yet. And this is where you come in. It is to elementary children, to beginners, that you've been called to bring the heavenly wisdom of Christ and to help them to grow. This wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. The last thing that we want to teach these beginners in our Christian school is the wisdom of this age, which Paul spoke about in that lesson from Corinthians. Do you remember his words? He talked about the world's wisdom. And he said that the wisdom that the world teaches does not teach us to know Christ or to know God. That wisdom fails. The knowledge of certain academic subjects is necessary for our children for a number of reasons. And you have had experience and you have the ability. You yourself know these subjects like math and reading and science and so on. You can teach these academics. This is knowledge. We have confidence that you can teach these things. But knowledge is not the same as the wisdom which fears the Lord. Bare knowledge, Paul says in another place, puffs up. Bare knowledge stresses human reason. What we can know from our own little brains and what we see in the signs that we are looking for. And that's why Paul speaks against that nonsense about the Jews and the Gentiles. People today still seek signs and they still try to use human reason to come up with all kinds of religious approaches to God. But none of these things make them wise. The thing which would make them wise, they reject as foolish. Paul says, to those who are called to faith, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Unlike teachers in the secular world's classrooms, you will not be teaching self-esteem to the children. You will not be teaching them to boast in themselves. You will not be teaching them the world's pride. You're going to be teaching them humility. Now listen carefully. The Bible tells us God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humility is not something that any person comes to by nature. God must teach humility, and he has a specific way of doing it. Humility is the first part of faith. You can't trust in a Savior without humility. No one can. Instead of teaching self-esteem, you're going to encourage your children to make the best use of their gifts and talents the way God intends them to. For his glory, not their own. Not to show themselves to the world. You're going to remind them at the same time of their own sins and their total unworthiness of all these blessings that God has given them. You will teach the law to bring down these elementary sinners who are in your charge. Do I need to repeat that? If any of us as parents ever learn anything, it's that children are naturally in need of correction, and we best give it for their sake. And then, because they are beginners in this wisdom that saves, the fear of the Lord, we're going to apply not only the proper correction, but you're also in the room going to rejoice to lift them up with the gospel of grace and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. In fact, everything, every correction you make, every law you preach to them, every command you give to them that they disobey, and they will, your goal is to be able to broaden their idea, to fill up their hearts more and more with how much God loves them, how much he forgives them. And this will move their hearts to serve him with all that they are and have. You will remind the children, as Christ reminded his followers, that though they are in the world, they are not of it. You will say to them, as Paul said to those beginning Christians in Corinth, you are of God in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God. Boast about him. And finally, we trust that you will also welcome the children in Jesus' name. And you're going to do this by a kindly invitation to instruction, and this is going to go on daily. We have this first word of our verse, come. Now, you know, that's not, even though it's an imperative, it's not a harsh commandment. It's not an order that David gives here, even though he has his followers. It's an invitation. Now, we all know how glad we are to receive an invitation to someone's house, to sit down at a meal, to enjoy not only good food, but fellowship. We know how happy it makes us, but guess what? Your invitation is even better. We're happy to come to a dinner, but your invitation is an invitation to come for higher things, for spiritual food, for nourishment that lifts not only the body, but the soul to heaven. There is no higher service in this world. And there is no better invitation than the one you'll be giving. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. The proper fear. The children, as well as their parents, will be glad to come to you and listen to you, accept your invitation. We read Psalm 34 in its entirety because David talks about, he gives some substance to what he means by the fear of the Lord. All that you teach them will be intended above all to encourage them with you to magnify the Lord, to make his name great, not theirs, but his. We live in a world that stresses self-esteem and self-pride in these little ones, and it's one of the major reasons we have so many problems in this society. You're not going to be doing that. You're going to be teaching that wisdom which begins with the fear of the Lord. You're going to say, join me and magnify the Lord God our Savior for all his goodness. Taste and see that he is good. And remember what a great sinner you are. You will help them to see the goodness as David saw it. You will keep the children in that state where they are going to reach not for the stars, but for their Savior who made the stars. You will help the children grow in their prayer life as David expands here, and in the living of their lives to his glory, not theirs. In teaching them the wisdom of fearing the Lord, you will encourage them to a joyful life of faith in their Lord Jesus. For the day when God the Father will speak to all believers in heaven, including these children that you're teaching, and he'll say to all believers in heaven, welcome in Jesus' name. Amen.